freedom as an end in itself leads one to say, my body, my choice. Now, freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. Freedom is the ability to do what you ought.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is Wednesday of the fourth week of Lent.
And thank you for journeying with us. We really do appreciate your time and your attention, and we hope that it has been worth your time. It's a real blessing for us to do these because it forces us to examine our own spiritual life. And so today we're going to be talking about, can you hear the kids screaming?
Yeah, like someone's really screaming up there.
We're going to talk about obedience. And Father Gabriel in Divine Intimacy speaks of obedience in terms of a religious to their superior. What we're going to try and do is apply it to the layperson's life. So what's his definition of obedience?
Pope Pius XII says, free emulation of liberty.
At first I was like, what does this mean? And I thought about it. My interpretation might not be perfect, but I think it's something like freely giving up one's freedom. And this is what vows of obedience do with religious. They freely give themselves over to their superiors and they say, we're going to be obedient. Now, let's circle back just a little bit and talk about freedom and liberty. The Catholic understanding of liberty and freedom is very different than our secular, modern understanding of liberty and freedom. And it's in the news cycles right now pretty consistently, and a movement of we have to defend liberty and freedom at all costs. Now, on the surface, yes. Yes, but what is the Catholic understanding of liberty versus the secular understanding? Well, the secular understanding of freedom and liberty is an end in itself. That's not the Catholic understanding. So they're seeking freedom for freedom's sake, liberty's sake. Just that's the end. Where the Catholic understanding is not that at all. Freedom is really a means to an end. And that end is predetermined. That end is God. So to correctly understand why we have been created free, it's a means by which we make choices that lead to God. And when we don't have this, when we just have freedom as the end in itself, especially when our intellect is not enlightened by faith, it leads to disastrous decisions and a way of life in society. For example, freedom as an end in itself leads one to say, my body, my choice. I can do whatever I want with my body. It's my freedom, my choice. It leads one to say, I can determine when I die. It leads one to say, I am free. I am the author of my own walk. Therefore, I'm going to decide and determine who I am. If I have been born a biological man and I decide to be a biological woman, well, then I am now a woman. We have a great abuse of freedom. This is not God's intent. So freedom for the sake of freedom, especially when our intellect is not enlightened by faith, leads to death because we have concupiscence, a fallen nature. It drifts away from God. And you see this being played out in society right now. We live in a culture of death. So freedom for the sake of freedom, without realizing we are to be ordered towards God. Yeah, we got trouble. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at in our society, because we've kicked God out of every corner, and now we call that freedom. Now, freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. Freedom is the ability to do what you ought. And what we ought to do is order ourselves to the divine law. What we ought to do is order ourselves to divinely revealed truths. And when we do not use our free will to do those things, it's an abuse of freedom. And that's where we're at. So circling back to obedience, the religious gives up their free will to obey their superior in order to move themselves towards God, because they see what their superior is asking of them as God's revealed will to them in that circumstance. Okay, how? We haven't taken vows of obedience to a superior, but in married life, we've taken vows to each other. So in one sense, we have given up certain, quote, freedoms that move us towards God. And giving up certain freedoms actually makes us free to love. Mm-hmm. Because I have said Janelle, you're the only one for me. It gives me great freedom to love her. It means there's no one else in the entire world that I will love like I love Janelle. That makes me free to love Janelle in a unique way. And this love, this vow of marriage, moves us towards God. You know, another thing that obedience does, it reveals God's will. Well, in marriage, how does God's will reveal itself to us? Through the duty of the moment. The duty that corresponds to the state of married life. So as a father, mother, husband, wife. So a child who needs a diaper change. Should I do it? When I said my vows to you, I gave up that choice to say, I'm not going to change diapers anymore. I gave that up. So in that moment, God's will is being revealed to me, and I have to be obedient to that moment. Leisure. We've lacked a little bit of leisure, haven't we?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's just been super busy these days, which is okay for the time, the season that we're in.
Because we have a duty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we don't have leisure because we've just chosen to give up leisure. It's because God's will has been revealed to us in the duty of the moment, and we just have zero leisure.
Yeah, but that's okay. I know there'll come a time.
But the purpose of this is what? To renounce our own will for the sake of the divine will.
And sometimes that's really hard.
Yes.
Like I may have almost cried.
Yes.
I was really feeling it yesterday.
But we have to understand obedience to the duty of that moment is crucial to renouncing our own will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we can't disagree.
No, you go.
Well, we just can't go through it by the letter of the law. And eventually we need to have to love giving up our will for the sake of the divine will.
Yeah. It's so hard though sometimes.
Yes.
But I think the more we do it, the easier it gets. Yeah. And then God calls us to a higher level of virtue.
Well, for sure. One thing won't happen is that we won't get better at it if we don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
I'll give you a concrete example. I wanted to sit down and have a coffee while you were...
Prepping.
No, when you were yesterday, when you were grocery shopping.
Okay.
So finally, finished up the videos, have a 20-minute window, sit down. As soon as I sat down, the house is quiet. Janelle had most of the kids somewhere outside. As soon as I sat down, I heard the baby monitor and Pascal was crying. Like in that moment, there was my coffee. I just wanted to have the coffee. But God's will was revealed in that moment. I have to say yes to Pascal. So now, obviously, we don't say yes to every wish and want that our children want. It has to be good for them. But God's will is revealed to us through the needs and what is good for our family. And long-winded, we have to be obedient to that.
Mm-hmm. And leaving a baby cry in their crib is not loving for them.
I believe it's saying no to God.
Hmm. Interesting. Domestic bell ringing for you. Sorry. St. Teresa of Jesus tells us that there is no path which leads more quickly to the highest perfection than that of obedience. Obedience brings us the sooner to that happy state of union with God. So when I was 18 years old, I was a part of this traveling retreat team called Behold the Lamb, based out of Alberta. And I remember one of the young ladies on my team, she was one of the designated drivers for our team that was traveling around. And she wrote on a little piece of paper, and she took a piece of tape, and she wrote this very quote. She wrote that there is no path which leads more quickly to the highest perfection than that of obedience. And she put it right above the speedometer so that she would remember not to speed while she was driving. And she saw that as an act of obedience, not only to the law, but an act of obedience to God. And I thought that was beautiful.
That is good.
Mm-hmm. O Lord, increase my love for your holy will. Enkindle in me a passion for your will, and then increase in my soul a love for obedience, that golden channel through which the precious treasure of your will comes to me. It reminds me actually of yesterday when I went grocery shopping with our children. I came back and I like rattled off 20 things that went wrong to Ken. And I was literally like vibrating because it was just so stimulating for me to be out with three children, grocery shopping, We actually stopped to use the washroom 4 different times. Can you believe it? 4 times.
And no one had diarrhea.
Our little daughter was terrified of those like self-flushing toilets. She didn't want to go use the toilet. Anyhow, long story short, I wasn't really yielding to the will of God. I was feeling very frazzled and done, to be honest. And I just wish that I could be more like, Lord, like, yes, I will choose to do your will, even if it's inconvenient, even if I have to grow in patience, even if it's not my way. You know, because I like to be very organized. Like, you know, even when you go shopping, if you have your things listed in order of the way that the store goes, that makes things so much easier because then you don't miss something on your list. And then you have to run all the way back and get it. Well, let me tell you, I had to do that too. It was just really challenging. And so anyhow, this is my prayer for myself and for you that we will learn to love the will of God.
So you felt done yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I was done.
I feel like this is done too here. Hey, thanks for watching. Share with us below what stood out to you and why, and we'll see you soon. God bless.